Welcome everyone here tonight, and take your Bibles and follow on, because we're going to talk about the question, you know, does it make any difference what one believes? When we're talking to others that are non-Christians, this is an important subject. Because, as we pointed out this morning, you know, the religious world is divided, isn't it? And we see all sorts of division in the religious world, contrary to what Jesus prayed for over in John chapter 17. Jesus, when he prayed his prayer, he prayed that all would be united in the truth that the apostles that he had chosen would believe. Beginning at verse 14 of John chapter 17, Jesus said, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." And then he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." Then he said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me through their word, that they all may be one," or united, "as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." So Jesus prayed that all would be united in truth. He says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So God's word is truth. So we know that today in the religious world it's severely divided. There are different beliefs. There are different doctrines. There are different practices. There are different churches. There are different names. So does it make any difference what one believes, or is there any difference about any of this? See, the popular concept that it doesn't make any difference what I believe is seen in a number of ways. Now, people think that faith alone will save. Just believe on the Lord Jesus, accept Him as your personal Savior, and you'll be saved. Some believe that just sincerity is all that matters. Just be sincere. Some believe that you can just join the church of your choice. But Jesus built one church. Over in Matthew chapter 16, we see when Jesus was with his disciples that he asked them who he was, and Peter confessed Jesus that he was the Christ, and Jesus said that he would build his church. He said, "I say also unto thee, there are Peter, and upon this rock are the fact of the matter that Jesus was the Christ." Peter confessed. He said, "I will build my church," singular, "and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." So the Lord built one church. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, there is one body. The body is the church. The church is the body. So it's really not your choice what church to join, is it? Because Jesus built one. He died for one church. That's His church. And then some have the idea that all you have to do is just be a good moral person, and that's equal to being a Christian. So we know that that can't be true, because over in Acts chapter 10, we see Paul or Peter sent to the house of Cornelius, and Cornelius was spoken of, described as a man who was of the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. So he's just about as good a moral person as you could imagine. Later on in that chapter, we see what they were commanded to be baptized. In verse 48, he commanded them, after he had preached to them the gospel, those that were assembling in the south, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. So just morality alone is not enough, is it? But these are popular concepts that we see.
that people believe.
So this idea that it doesn't matter what you believe is a barrier to the gospel. You know, when people are trying to be taught and we're trying to reach out to people to teach them God's Word and use the Bible to do that, we see that because of this idea that many have, that it doesn't make any difference what you believe, the gospel can't get through to people who have that idea. To them, there's no need to study. You know, issues are trivial. Some say they feel comfortable with their religion. Some say, I have my church. And many believe that any doctrine will do. What difference does it make? Just love Jesus and everything will be alright, is what a lot of people believe. But is that what the Bible teaches? Is that what the Bible teaches? No, it does make a difference what we believe. It does. And so, this idea that it doesn't make any difference is one of the devil's tools, one of his most effective tools. Cause people not to believe, build that barrier between the truth and those that are lost in sin. So it does make a difference about what one believes. So will this concept work in other areas or other areas of life? Suppose you're going to invest in a business. And if you invest in a business and believe it to be a good investment, can you lose your money if this fails? Can you? A lot of people have invested in companies that seem to be sound, but find out somewhere along the line when they're investing in it fails, the company fails, or the stock tanks. Remember stock, George and I used to play around what's called Shiva. You remember that. That stock was good for a while, but it just dropped like a rock one day, and that was all over for that one. What about health? You know, if we drank a glass of liquid, and in that glass it looks like water, smells like water, doesn't have any odor, but we drank it, thinking it is water and believing it is water, if it's poison, you're going to die, aren't you, if you don't get to the doctor? So just believing that it's water doesn't make it water, does it? Believing that a company won't fail doesn't mean it won't fail, does it? So it matters what we believe, doesn't it? So this idea that people have that it doesn't matter what you believe in the religious realm, they don't believe that in the physical realm. They don't buy that. Now, if we must believe anything, then it makes a difference in what we believe. We must believe in God. And the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So belief matters, doesn't it? In John chapter 8, verse 26, and 21 and 24, we see where Jesus was with the Pharisees and scribes, and He said to the Jews which believed on Him, He said, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. But they didn't continue. They're going back to verse 21. Jesus said, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall not, and die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. Why? Because they didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. Verse 24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. So it matters what we believe. Then the truth, we must believe the truth. Again, we read John chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. But in John chapter 8, verse 31 again, Jesus said to those who believe in Him, He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But we have to continue in it, don't we? We read this Galatians 1 this morning where Paul, he said that he marveled about the waywardness of the Galatians. He said, I marvel you're so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. For there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He said, but though we or an angel preach any other gospel in you, and that ye have received, let it be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So did it matter what gospel they believed? Did it? It did, didn't it? It mattered. You see, the Bible is an objective standard. It's a fixed standard. So it makes a difference what is believed. We must believe the fixed standard. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 talked about the written word. He said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, he says, we have received the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believe, and therefore I have spoken. Ye also believe, and therefore speak. So they believe what Paul wrote. They believe what Paul preached. He spoke and taught what was written. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. He didn't say you could speak your opinions. He said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, or the utterances of God. We're to speak what the Bible teaches. Can't speak our opinion and what we think. We must speak what the Bible teaches. He said, if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we don't glorify God when we preach our opinion or teach and preach doctrines and commandments of men. Paul said that his commandments were the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 37. Paul said, if any man think himself to be prophet, a prophet or spiritual, let him not him acknowledge that the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. Paul is inspired of God. Paul spoke of the word of God versus the word of men over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. He said, for this cause I also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. So they believed the word of God, not the word of men. They received it as the word of God. Believing that it was the word of God, because it was the word of God. See, the scriptures are inspired. And Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So when we believe, people believe writings of men are not scriptural based, or they appeal to the doctrines and commandments of men, then that makes a difference, doesn't it? See, the apostles, they were given the word to speak by the Holy Spirit. Now, they were guided by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Turn with me to that. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Paul said, beginning at verse 9 of 1 Corinthians, he talked about their being inspired. Paul said, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, the apostles, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, save the deep things of God. For what a man knoweth, the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. It is now we receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, sometimes, Rowena, she'll send me to the store and say, write down what you want, because if you tell me, I'll forget. So I'm guided by her notes. And sometimes I got to remember where I put the notes. But if she just told me what to get, I would forget.
See?
But how would I know what she wanted me to get unless she told me or wrote it down? How do we know what God wants us to know without it being revealed to us? No, He revealed it to us. He revealed it through the Word. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, and when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, beginning at verse 3, he said, "How about by revelation He made known unto me the mystery," or that had not been revealed prior. He said, "He made known unto me the mystery," and he wrote a four and two words, "whereby when ye read me understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ," or the gospel of Christ. He said, "Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So it wasn't revealed prior to the apostles revealing it or being given to them to reveal. It was a mystery. It's not that we can't understand. He said, "When you read it, you may understand my knowledge." It's understandable. We just have to make some effort. So the Bible is that exact standard. It's what it's written. It's the oracles of God. It's the words chosen by God, the Word of God. It's the inspired Scriptures. It's those words delivered by the Holy Spirit. So the difference it makes then is revealed by what we read in John 8, verse 21 and 24. Go back to that. Bring your Bible to that. In verse 21, Jesus said unto them, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, ye cannot come," because they wouldn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. He said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." So one who believes in Christ, their sins are forgiven, they'll go to heaven with Jesus. Those that didn't believe that He was Christ couldn't come, or would not be given that heavenly reward. So to not believe in Christ means you would die in your sins. You won't go or can't go to heaven unless you do believe that Jesus is the Christ. So it makes a difference, doesn't it? It makes a difference. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul said this, and we read this morning. He said, "With all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness." So we see a contrast in those two verses there. We see a contrast of a lie versus the truth. So those that believe a lie, they're deceived, verse 10. They do not love the truth. They're deluded. They believe that lie. They do not believe the truth. They have pleasure in unrighteousness. So what's the result? They will perish in verse 10. The text says there that they will be lost. They will not receive truth that they might be saved. He said, the unrighteous of them that perish, they perish. They're condemned, verse 12. He says that they might be damned or condemned. That's the difference. But those that believe the truth, they love the truth. They believe it because they love the truth, and they believe the truth. Therefore, they'll be saved. Verse 10, notice. He said, "And with all the people of righteous and them that perish, because they receive not the truth, that they might be saved." So those who receive the truth will be saved, won't they? So it makes a difference. What we believe. Do we believe a lie or the truth? And I've said this before. I'll say it again. But in the religious realm, there's more lies told than anywhere. There's more lies told in the religious realm than in politics. You think about that. There are more lies told in the religious realm than in politics. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 1, or verse 13. 1 Kings chapter 13 we'll read from. It's We have a case of one believing a lie. Beginning at verse 1, 1 Kings chapter 13, the text says there, "Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense." He was worshiping idols, should have been worshiping God. "And he cried against the altar, that is the man of God, and the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it in again unto him. And the altar was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand might be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I'll give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half of thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread or drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the same way he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they told also to their father. And their father said unto him, What way went he? For his sons had seen the way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, Saddle me a donkey. So they saddled him the donkey, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that came from Judah? And he said, I am. And then he said unto him, Come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread or drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, that thou should eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said, I am a prophet as thou art. And the angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into the house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. The old prophet lied unto this man of God. So the man of God believed him. He went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. It came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet that brought him back. He cried to the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass after he had eaten bread, after he had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way, and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. And the donkey stood by it, and the lion also stood by the donkey. Behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, or his corpse. And the lion standing by the donkey, or by the corpse of this man of God. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. When the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, "It is the man of God who is disobedient to the word of the Lord." Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion which tore him, and slain him according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, "Saddle me the donkey." And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the donkey and the lion standing by the carcass. And the lion had not eaten the carcass, nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man, and laid it upon the donkey, and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his corpse on his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, "When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones." The saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against the house of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria, surely shall come to pass. After the saying, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again the lowest of the people priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin of the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and destroy it from off the face of the earth. We see where the man of God, he believed a lie, didn't he? You know, the truth, if we examine this, the truth was that he was not to eat bread, drink water, or go back the same way. But the old prophet bought him back. He said, bring him back to your house that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied. He believed the lie. And what happened to the man? He was slain by the lion, wasn't he? He was slain by the lion. What's the message in this? Acts 5, verse 29. We ought to obey God rather than men. When Peter and the apostles were told not to preach in his name, they responded and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We must believe what Jesus has revealed. I've had people tell me that God spoke to them in some mysterious way. That's a lie. How do I know that? Because the Hebrew writer said, "God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world." So he spoke unto us through his word. He gave his word to the apostles. They spoke it, they preached it, they wrote it down for our learning. We have that word in the Bible, the truth. The truth is not a lie. So it makes a difference what one practices, doesn't it? A lot of people practice things in religion that you wouldn't think about. Well, some people handle snakes in worship. Pentecostal friends. Some in Corinth, they were involved in moral acts. So if it doesn't make a difference, then we can be involved in these things. It doesn't make a difference. You believe that? I don't. You believe that? So if it doesn't make a difference what one practices, we can just do anything we want. I don't think anybody believes that for sure. See, what we do religiously, our practice must be authorized in the Word of God. We're to do all things according to the pattern, just like Moses was given the pattern of the tabernacle on the mount. We must follow the pattern of divine teaching. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, the Hebrew writer says, "He served under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown thee on the mount." Would God have been pleased with Moses that he changed the design of the the tabernacle, the altar, and all the furnishings. Moses followed to the letter in very detail how he had to make all those furnishings of the tabernacle and the temple that he was told to build. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, we're to do things in the name of the Lord or by His authority. In Colossians 3, verse 17, he said, and whatsoever you do in word, whatever we teach or in practice, indeed, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus or by His authority, giving thanks to God and Father by Him. So if I came and knocked on your door, I said, I'm arresting you in the name of the Lodi police. You said, you don't have the authority to do that. I'd be a farce if I said something like that or tried to do something like that, because I don't have that authority. But if the Lodi police came, and they said, we're arresting in the name of the law by the authority they're given by the laws of the land. That's applicable, isn't it? That matters. See, we must remain within the doctrine of Christ. We must abide. Our abode must be within the doctrine of Christ. We must abide by His teaching. In 2 John 9, John said, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So we have fellowship with Christ and His Son when we abide in His teaching. Then we must abide by the same rule or by the rule of Scripture. Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, nevertheless, whereunto we've already came, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing, the same rule of the gospel message. So we'll be united with Christ, the Father, and other brethren who are abiding in truth when we do that. So it does matter what we believe, doesn't it? See, the difference it makes is that our practice affects our fellowship with God, doesn't it? If we do things that are contrary to God's Word, or things that we have no authorization in God's Word to do, then we don't have God. Our fellowship with God is broken. Again, 2 John 9, he said, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. You can think you have it all day long, but you don't. You participate, support, teach, practice, associate with those that are teaching error. God's not with you. You might feel good about it, but God is not with you. How do I know that? Well, just what we read. It affects our eternal salvation. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is speaking to religious people. This is part of His Sermon on the Mount. And He said, beginning at verse 21, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But who will? He said, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, those are the ones that will enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I confess to them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity or lawlessness. So we can't decide for ourselves what pleases God. God told us in His Word, hasn't He? But the only way to please God is to do His will, abide in His doctrine, because it makes a difference. It affects our fellowship. It affects our eternal salvation, because the Lord will reject us. So do you want to hear Him say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, on the last great day? Is that what you want to hear? I don't think anybody wants to hear that. So what are the consequences? Now, if it doesn't make any difference, then it doesn't matter whether one believes or not, does it? It doesn't make any difference whether one believes the Bible or not, does it? And this says that the Bible is unimportant. And it says that God's Word is unimportant and God is unimportant. So it doesn't matter if that principle or idea is true. But the truth of the matter is, it does make a difference. Because I need to know the truth, and you need to know the truth. Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's the only one that will save you from your sins, is God's truth, the truth that Jesus taught to his apostles and prophets. So we need to study and examine what we're being taught. We need to study and examine what we believe to make sure it's right. See, the Bereans were said to be more fair-minded or noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. They wanted to know if it was the truth or not. They wanted to know it's the truth. See, I need to obey the truth. Peter said, "See, you've purified your souls in obeying the truth. Through the Spirit, an unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." So we purify ourselves. Our souls are cleansed by obeying the gospel, the truth. We need to be careful what we believe. Like I said, there's many liars in the religious world. There are liars that tell you you don't have to believe the Bible. You don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. Just believe, accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and say the sinner's prayer, and you'll be saved. That's a lie. Billy Graham taught that. Now, he is a nice fellow, but he is a liar. Anybody else who teaches doctrines like that's a liar. Paul says, "See that you walk circumspectly with carefulness with regard to what's around you. Not as fools, but as wise, regaining the time because the days are evil." Many lies being told in the religious world. Don't believe them. Don't believe them. So we need to remember these things as we examine God's Word. Remember that there are many warnings in Scripture about false prophets. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, he said, "But there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now the long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Many people are made merchandise. Many of these big preachers, like Benny Hinn and others that have these large assemblies, they don't drive a Nissan Sentra. They don't live in a three-bedroom house. They live in mansions. Why? Because they're making merchandise. And they appeal for money. On all their websites, there's that appeal for money. For Christians, they lay by in store from the first day of the week. We don't expect visitors to lay by in store. That's the duty of local members. But when you become a Christian, then that's your obligation to lay by in store upon the first day of the week. How many first days in every week? There's one, isn't there? Every week has a first day too, doesn't it? So, the consequences of believing a lie, it makes a difference what we believe. See, over in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, when Peter and the apostles preached the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, Peter told them, he said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, they were smitten, they were cut to the heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They knew they had to do something to amend that law. So alien sinners, those who have never obeyed the gospel, must hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not doctrines of men, but hearing the word of God. We must believe the gospel. It said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. We must repent of our sins. Paul told the Athenians, as we mentioned this morning, that the times of the sickness, God winketh, and now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We must confess Christ, that He is the Son of God. Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And one who is an alien sinner must be baptized in the water for the remission of sins, or to obtain the remission of sins. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by that authority, for or in order to obtain the remission of sins. An erring children of God, an erring child of God, must repent and pray, like Simon was told to do when he, shortly after he was baptized, he tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit with money. And Peter said, thy money perisheth with thee, because thou sought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. And he said that he perceived that he was the gall of bitterness, the bond of the neck, and he told him to repent and pray, perhaps the thought of thine heart might be forgiven thee. And when one becomes a child of God, they must remain faithful unto death. You know, Christians do sin at times, but we must make amends for that. We must make that correction. We must live a faithful life, even to the point of when we might be being persecuted for what we believe. You know, the writer of Revelation, John, talked about Antipas. He said, my fellow martyr. Domitian was killing Christians. And this admonition came and was based on that fact. So be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Faithful in the face of physical persecution and death. That's the context of that passage right there. So my question is, have you been baptized into Christ? Do you believe the truth? Do you accept the truth? Because it does make a difference. If there's anyone who desires to respond to the Lord's invitation, we urge Jesus us together. We stand to sing the song. And select us. So we stand while we sing. 300.